Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been embarrassed? I mean, really embarrassed. Well, I certainly have. It happened when I was a pastor in Wagga Wagga, New South Wales. Our church was graced by a visit from Dr. Oswald Hoffman, who at the time was the chief speaker of the Lutheran Hour. And I'm sure some of you will have heard of him. I think Gary probably ushered him around Australia somewhere. But anyway, Helen and I went out to the airport to meet him, and I took him back to our manse in Wagga. And then I discovered that we were locked out of the manse. It was one of those self-locking doors, and the key was in the house. Well, thankfully, I had left a window partially open and was able to crawl through it to my great embarrassment. Dr. Hoffman had a great sense of humour and he thought it was a huge joke, but certainly I didn't. Did you know that the door to heaven is locked and we don't have a key? So how do we get in? We can't force our way in. There's no windows open ajar into heaven, but surely only through Jesus, who is the key that opens the door to heaven. In fact, from our text in John 10, we read that Jesus is the door. I know the translation has gate, but I'll use door today if that's all right with you. So Jesus is all himself the door through to heaven. He swings open and allows us to come into God's presence, and on the last day he will usher us into heaven itself. Truly may all of us come to Jesus, for he is the only way to life. And so in John 10, our text, Jesus says, "I am the door." And a door is a very apt illustration of who Jesus is and what he has done. Jesus left heaven's door through the door to come to earth, to be born in a very smelly manger. But he died and rose again for the sake of our salvation. Jesus had a door slammed in his face on the cross. The Father slammed the door on Jesus. And he did this because Jesus was covered by our sin. And so Jesus knows what it is like to be locked out of heaven. And that's one reason why he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thankfully, God the Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for sin, so that Jesus became the door that now swings open for us so we can come into God's presence. Jesus then went through a door on Good Friday, and he went through a door on Easter Sunday to show he had risen from the dead. When Jesus says he is the door, he claims to be the only door to life. There are two ways to look at life. There is physical life. Physical life is when you breathe and work and move and think. That is life. All people have this life. But there is another life which we can call spiritual life. Life in the spirit. And it's a life in God that is rich and full of joy. It is the abundant life. It means that we will be in God, with God in heaven forever. All people have physical life, but only those who are found in Christ have spiritual life. Yes, physical life is not enough. People who have only physical life often know that there is something missing. For instance, when I was in Wagga, I got involved with some prostitutes. Let me hasten to add that it happened because the owner of the escort agency there had a wife who claimed to be a Lutheran, and she had a baby, and I visited her in hospital, not knowing who she was or what her husband did. It was only some time later that she turned up on our manse door very early in the morning, dishevelled, barefoot, weeping, and blurted out, "I am a prostitute. I've lied to you about that." This gave me quite a shock, and my wife too. Well, one day the wife grabbed the baby and left her husband and disappeared. And then the police found them, and there was a custody battle. And I got somehow drawn into this battle, and so one day I was in a car with the owner of the escort agency and three of his workers in the back seat, travelling 100 kilometres to a courthouse. And I can assure you it was a very interesting conversation that we had. But it seemed to me that as we talked, these women realised that they had physical life, but that there must be something more to life than what they had. And they wanted out. And so, with God's help, I was able to show them that there was a better way, the way of Jesus. So you see, physical life is not enough. And that's why many people today are unhappy and restless. They're looking for life, but often they look in the wrong places, and in the process they often endanger the one life they have, their physical life. They never have the abundant life. Japan is also a good example of people who have, on the whole, physical life but not spiritual life. And Gary and Desmond, I'm sure you kind of found that there wasn't a lot of spirituality in Japan. Well, interestingly, after the Second World War and Japan was defeated, Japan's Emperor Hirohito spoke to General MacArthur, the American general, and said, "I realise America is a Christian country. If you like, I can get onto the radio and command the Japanese people to become Christians." And MacArthur said, "You can't do that. You can't force people to become Christians." And that's why Japan today, I guess, is still a very unspiritual country, a very secular country. But look at China. It's very hard to get good figures for China, and I looked it up last week. And the people who sent out the information were not quite sure how many Christians there are in China, and the range was from 40 to 100 million. But some commentators believe that in a very short time there will be more Christians in China than in any other country in our world. Maybe this is why the government is persecuting Christians and others so much now. They are fearful what might happen to them. Or think of South Korea. Currently, 31% of the population of South Korea are Christians, more than any other group. So physical life alone is not enough, but God has placed in every person a longing for himself. People are not satisfied with life unless God is there. As the great church father Augustine once said, "Oh God, our lives are restless until they find their rest in you." The door to heaven and to God and to life is Jesus. He is the only door. All other doors lead to defeat, despair, and death. As Jesus said, all others who came before me are thieves and robbers. We are surrounded by religious robbers. They seduce us with fine talk, promising us the world. But they are vain promises. I once had a member in a congregation who had a brain tumour. And some religious person came up to her and said, look, if your faith is strong enough, you will get over this brain tumour and become well again. And for a while, that shook her faith. It made it very painful for her. But then she realised that God had given her a strong faith. And so she never lost her faith in the Lord. She did not let this person rob her of her faith. It is sad to see people searching for real life and not finding it. So it happened that a despairing man went to a doctor for help. He was so depressed, and the doctor thought, well, what can I say? And then he thought, well, he says, there's a comedian in town by the name of Carlini. He gets people convulsed with laughter. Go and see Carlini. I'm sure he will be able to help you. But then the man burst out in tears, but he said, but I am Carlini. Truly, physical life is not enough. It ends in physical death, and for those who have rejected Christ, there is no hope of eternal life. Jesus, the only door. Through his death on the cross, he forgave our sins. Through his resurrection from the dead, he has made a way through life, through death, to eternal life for us. And through his ascension, he has blazed a trail to heaven for us. Jesus transforms our life. He makes us spiritually alive. Jesus fills us with his Holy Spirit, so life is now rich and full and has meaning. Jesus not only calls himself the door in John 10, he also calls himself the Good Shepherd. As shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name. Jesus knows your name and mine. In fact, God, so Isaiah says, has your name written on the palm of his hand. In other words, your name will always be before our Lord and he won't forget you. And in Isaiah, the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jesus called us by name in our baptism. We were washed clean because all the blessings of Jesus' cross were put into that water. And Jesus wants to keep in touch with us. He doesn't want to lose any of his sheep. As shepherd, Jesus always goes ahead of his sheep. We don't have to be afraid of our future. He knows the way ahead. He's been there before us. And thus Stephen, the first Christian martyr, faced death confidently as he was being stoned to death. Full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This little incident reminds me of a friend of mine of years ago, by the name of Art Dutschke. In fact, Art's son was the best man in our wedding. But as Art was dying, he said to those around his bed, can you hear them? I can hear angels singing. No one could hear them, but undoubtedly he could hear the angels who were welcoming him into heaven above. It is true, whatever is around the corner, Jesus is already there. So who is given spiritual life? Who has received life in heaven? Those who belong to Jesus, those who are Jesus' sheep. They are the ones who hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. They are the repentant ones. They are the people who are full of faith. And so we, such people, hear the shepherd's voice. And he tells us, I died for you. I rose from the dead for you. I have taken away your sins. You are now on the way to heaven. I am the door and will let you in. And so we believe him and we trust him and we follow him. We also hear the shepherd's voice in the Lord's Supper. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our crucified and risen Lord. So commune with joy. Here too is our life and hope. As Jesus' sheep, we follow him to fields of green grass. Jesus leads us to streams of peaceful water. This is truly the abundant life, life in all its fullness. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that. It's the peace of knowing your sins are forgiven. It's the confidence that Jesus is with you every step of the way. It's the joy of knowing heaven is your home. But isn't it true? The shepherd sometimes leads us along very painful paths. Sheep sometimes end up with broken legs. Why? A hiker in Switzerland found out in a very graphic way. As he was hiking through Switzerland, he came upon a shepherd. And near the shepherd, he saw a sheep lying on straw and obviously in great pain. And the shepherd told him that the sheep had broken its leg. And how did it happen? The hiker asked. And the shepherd replied, I broke its leg. Why? Why would you do such a thing? The hiker asked. And the shepherd explained, of all the sheep in my flock, this was one of the most wayward, always wandering into dangerous places. Not only was it disobedient itself, but it was leading the other sheep into danger. And I've had previous experience with such sheep, and so I simply broke its leg. The first day when I tried to feed it, it tried to bite me. And so I let it alone for a couple of days. And then I went back to it with food. And now it not only takes the food I bring, but it licks my hand and shows affection. When this sheep is well, and it soon will be, it will be an example to the flock. The quickest to obey my voice, the closest to follow after me. It will be an example and a guide, leading the others, all because of the bond we have established between us. May we remember this when we are hurt. This is our shepherd's way of keeping us close to him, so we follow him ever more closely. John 10 is one of the great chapters of the Bible. It tells us Jesus is the door. Through his death and resurrection, he became our door. And as door, he swings open for us and lets us pass to life in heaven as we come to him in repentance and faith. But Jesus is also our good shepherd. And so we listen to the voice of Jesus. We believe he bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds we have been healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, St. Peter says. Yes, Jesus leads us home. May God's Spirit help us to keep following Jesus. He won't let us down. As we read in the poem, and I'm sure this poem is very well known to you, written by Margaret Fishback Powers, Footprints. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes in my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about this and my dilemma. Lord, you told me that you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that through the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I just don't understand. When I needed you most, you leave me. And the Lord spoke back and said, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testing. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was them that I carried you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.